Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and this is another Redemption Time broadcast. Coming to you on a Tuesday morning, and we appreciate each one of you that is listening this morning, and trust the broadcast will be a blessing, a help, and an encouragement to you today as you travel along the pathway of life and headed toward our eternal destiny. And I hope, my dear friend, that you're headed in the right direction, that you're headed towards heaven, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking and hoping in that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me give you our church announcements. We do start our Sunday school on Sunday morning at 9:45. We start our morning worship at 10:45. We start our Sunday evening at 6 and our Wednesday evening at 7. We invite you to come and be in any of these services that you could be. Now on June the 2nd, we will be having our homecoming day. And Brother Gary Crisp will be preaching that morning. We will start our services that day only at 11 a.m. We will not have Sunday school on the 2nd. We'll start at 11 a.m. And we will have Brother Gary Crisp preaching. The Dumplin Valley Singers will be singing. And we will serve a meal afterwards. And no night service on June the 2nd. So we give you an invitation to come. Be in this service if you want to hear some good preaching. Then every Sunday, our pastor, Brother Rick Smeltzer, he brings us the Word of God. And we encourage you to come and listen to him. Come sing in our choir. We still have an open choir. If you'd like to be part of the choir, come on and join us. I know the Lord will bless you, and I believe you'll enjoy being in our services. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. We love the Lord, love the Word. Still sing the songs that praise him. And invite you to come if you'd like to be part of our service. Now, we'll have a song, and I will be back with today's message, continuing our series on Christ as the Rock.
When I think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery, even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. Though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me.
You've been good.
promise, Lord, if I'd confess to all my sin, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, cleanse the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. You assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me.
Well, there's the Joy Air singing, "You've Been Good to Me." I play those folks a lot. I use their music. I have been around them for several years. They've been singing in our camp meetings and our revivals. And I know these folks love the Lord, and I know they sing for the glory of God. And that's why I use them. I appreciate them, and I know they know what they're singing about. They know the God that they sing about. They know the salvation that they sing about, and I appreciate it. And let me say that, yes, God has been good. He's been good to me, and I believe anybody out there that will stop and think sensibly that God has been good to you, and God has blessed you and brought you this far, and if you're alive today, then God has been good to you. Friend, if you're not saved and you're alive today, God has especially been good to you, because if he had passed away, then you would have gone into hell. The fact that you're alive today is a great blessing that he's giving you. And if you're listening to this broadcast, it's another opportunity you have of making it right with him before it's too late. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and for each one that listens. And I don't ever want to start this broadcast and close it without bringing the salvation message, and then we'll also be looking at this subject that we've been looking at for about 6 weeks. This is the seventh in the series of Christ as the Rock, and we'll be getting into that as soon as we have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the ones that are listening today, for making this broadcast possible. Thank you for the radio station. Thank you for the means to pay for this broadcast and keep it going. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love. Thank you for your long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, that you have been so good to us, and you've blessed us in so many ways. Lord, we just thank you and appreciate you so much. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for going in our place and dying, and we should have died. Thank you for defeating sin, hell, and the grave, rising victorious over it all, and today standing ready with open arms to receive any that will come to you and trust you as their Savior and believe upon your name and ask you to come save them. And Lord, I know that today you're standing ready, anxious and willing to receive all that would come. Lord, take this broadcast, these feeble words that I speak, use them to encourage your people. And Lord, bring conviction upon the heart of someone who's not saved. I pray, Lord, for the sick today and for those that have other things going on in their life. Lord, you know the need of every life. I pray for those in our church that have special needs, our widows, our widows and widower, and these that have requested prayer for cancer and different things, Lord. I do pray that you'll bless each one of them and help them through this. Lord, my neighbor that has cancer, I pray that you'll bless him, give him a good day, and help him through this horrible time that he's going through, Lord. Father, I pray now you'll use the broadcast for your glory and honor. If there's one out there that's not saved, Lord, don't let them hear this broadcast and then die and go to hell. Speak to their heart today. Bring them to a place of submission to your will. Save them by the grace of God. And I know that you want to. And I pray, Lord, that somehow we'll be able to say something that'll wake them up and bring them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, going back to our springboard scriptures this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you should be have that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we do know that Christ is depicted as a stone in the scriptures. We've looked at several aspects of this, of how he is the stone. You have heard the story, I'm sure, many times, and I have recounted it here as we talked about them in the desert, how that Moses smote the rock and it brought forth water that saved them. We've talked about him being the smitten rock, that God smote him there in the darkness on Calvary that day when sin was laid upon his shoulders. And he died under the burden of our sin, and he carried our sin away, and he took it upon himself. He who knew no sin, he who was perfect, and was born of a virgin, born the Son of God, came into this world, lived a perfect life, died in our place, was buried, and rose again. And we do know that he was smitten of God, and that he paid the penalty for our sin. Then last week, we looked at a couple of things. We said he was the rock of safety. Yeah, therefore, he talked about, he told Peter that he was Petra, and Peter was a little Petros. He was a little rock. But he said on this church, on himself, Jesus on himself said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We said that, first of all, that no matter what the world thinks about the church today, it's not going down. It's not going to be diminished. The true church is still alive and well, and Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still the head of the church, and it's still going strong, and the gospel hasn't changed in all of these hundreds and thousands of years. The gospel is still the same. The church is still proclaiming it, and I believe that still people can be saved through the preaching of the gospel. The Bible said that it was by the foolishness of preaching that men would be saved. He said that how can they hear, and how can they be saved unless they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? And God chose the foolishness, the world thinks it's foolish, of preaching that men might be saved. And no matter what you think of that, that's God's way. That's, if you get saved, you'll come through the way of the Word, you'll come by way of the cross, you'll come through the blood of Jesus, or you won't come at all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And he is the way to heaven today. So we see then that we also talked about Petra, the place over in, I believe it's in Jordan, where that, I believe that in the tribulation when God said he had a place for Israel to flee, I believe that's what he's talking about. I believe he'll put them in there, and I believe he'll protect them and take care of them, and even as the whole world, as we're seeing it happen today, turns against them and wishes to destroy them. And friend, I want to tell you something. If you have ever heard anything about prophecy, you ought to recognize the fact that this thing is leading right up to the tribulation time. The whole world is turning on Israel, even here in our own country. A bunch of lowlifes that have protested and stood up for that bunch of terrorists, Hamas, and have wanted to villainize the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and even the United States. Many are not responding correctly to Israel's need. The Bible said he'll bless those that bless Israel, and he will curse those that curse Israel. And for when I don't intend to do anything that I know of that's going to bring the cursing of God upon me. Now that that's said, maybe I can get into the message. So today I want to look at the fact that Christ is a stone of stumbling. A stone of stumbling. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and evil and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." So there's one I haven't covered, the living stone. And thank God he's alive forevermore. "Ye also as lively stones," and we're lively because he's living and he lives in us. "We're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can offer acceptable sacrifices to God. What is an acceptable sacrifice? It's thanksgiving and praise from a heart filled with love, from a heart filled with awe and respect and love for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I believe that through that, we can offer up acceptable sacrifices to Him. "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." Well, there's another one. He's a cornerstone. He's elect. He's precious. "And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Oh my. This cornerstone, this chief cornerstone, the one that everything must be referenced to. You see, friends, if we start comparing ourselves to each other, we look around and most of us can find someone that, at least in our eyes, we think is worse than we are. And we can compare to them and think, oh, well, maybe I'm not so bad after all. But let me tell you, that's not the standard. I don't know of anybody that is perfect, no matter who they are. And you look at anybody, I don't care how good, how moral, or whatever they are, they're going to have faults. And we've all got them. Although some people don't like to admit it, we really do. But listen, the standard is not your neighbor. The standard is not your preacher, although he should be a good example. Your standard is not someone you know and respect, although they may be highly respected and highly spiritual, and maybe they're good examples, but they're not the standard. If you want to know what the standard is, it's the head cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you want to start comparing, then you must compare yourself to Him if you want to know where you stand as far as getting into heaven. And today, my friend, He is the reference point that we look at. If you're comparing yourself to anybody else, you will be confounded. This one says that if you believe on him, you won't be. And then unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, he's a precious stone. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. He is the rock of stumbling. And to the Jews, he was a stumbling stone upon his first coming. You see, they were expecting him to come in that first time and put down the Roman rule. This is what they were looking for. And they were so wrapped up in their religion and in all of the ordinances and the laws and the 600 and some odd articles that they had put into the law. And they were so occupied with that and so afraid that someone was going to interfere in their religious system that they totally missed the Son of God when he came the first time. They missed the Messiah. It was plainly given in the Old Testament enough signs that they should have recognized him. They should not have been any doubt about it. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. They saw the lame walk. They saw the blind eyes open. They saw all of these things that he did. They heard him teach, and they saw how that on many occasions they tried to take him, and yet they could not. God always made him a way of escape, and they could not take him. And so they had no excuse because they've stumbled. They stumbled at the rock. And you know what? So many religious people today are stumbling over the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they simply cannot grasp the idea that salvation is a gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't work to keep it. It is simply a gift of God, and all you can do is to receive it and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that what he did at Calvary is sufficient for your salvation for now, for when you die, and through eternity. It is sufficient. His blood paid the price on Calvary for our sins that we could be saved. And friend, so many people stumble at that because, I don't know, just so many things. It's just hard for some people. It's so simple. But yet it's so hard for some people to grasp the concept that God would do something like that, that Jesus himself was enough to pay the sin debt. That God doesn't really need us to do anything because there's nothing we can offer God that's not stained and polluted with our sin. And yet, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to approach unto God. Now, as I think about this, I do not understand, and I guess it's because maybe Satan gets in the way, and I guess it's just human nature, and I do know the Holy Spirit has to speak to a heart to convict them of their sin. I know that many people, like I said before, they compare themselves to other people, but that's not a comparison. That is no good. That's no excuse. There are no excuses. These people had no excuses because they had all of the scriptures. They prided themselves on being the people that had the scriptures, that kept the scriptures, and scribes were constantly copying those scriptures, being careful not to miss a dotted I or a crossed T, and yet they missed him. And I wonder how many times people in this country, and maybe around the world, have heard the gospel, and they stumbled because they simply could not grasp the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Would you just like to be able to rest in the assurance that you're saved? You can. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'll give you rest. Come unto me." And then another place he said, "Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you." Because, listen, his burden's light and his yoke is easy. Compared to what the devil does to people and the loads that he puts on people and the way that he disrupts and destroys lives, I'm telling you, my friend, Jesus has the lightest yoke. He has the lightest load. He'll help you bear that load. And if you come to him today, he will relieve that burden of sin that you carry. But please, don't be a stumbler. Do not fall down over this rock. And we find that, and I'm not sure if I go over this or not, but I do know this. I do know that in one place, and maybe it's in one of my final points, the Bible talks about that if we fall on that stone, that we will, in other words, if we fall on him, then we'll be healed. But if he falls on us, if that stone falls on us, if judgment falls upon us, then we'll be crushed. And friend, today as I bring another broadcast to the close, I just want to tell you, don't be stumbling over that rock. The rock of the corner, the rock of Jesus Christ, the stable one, the strong one, the loving one, the one that's able, the one that's willing, the one that has given his life for you, yonder on Calvary, when he spread his hands across on that cross, and he died there in your place and in my place, under the our load of sin, paid the penalty. And my friend, don't stumble over that rock. You may be religious, you may be moral, you may be a much better man than I am. I wouldn't doubt that most everybody, if not everybody listening, is that. But that doesn't make one difference as far as getting into heaven. I'm not the standard. You're not the standard. Nobody you know is the standard except the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so easy to stumble on that stone. Now, friend, as we close the broadcast, I want to ask you this. Have you ever been saved? If you died today, where would your soul spend eternity? If you can't say for surety that you'd go to heaven, I want to ask you to please just humble your heart. If you're in a position where you can, kneel down on your knees and pray. If not, just humble your heart. Ask the Lord to come in and save you. Confess that you know you're a sinner, that you're lost and you need to be saved. And just pray a prayer. I can't tell you exactly what to pray, but simply to confess that you're lost and need to be saved, and you know that, and that you believe he can do it, and you ask him to save you. If you'll do that, I assure you, on the authority of God's word, he'll save you, and today you'll be a new creature with a new destiny, a new outlook, and you can know this stone personally that I know. You can enjoy his strength as you walk this land, and you can enjoy the blessings of fellowship with the Son of God. Father, I pray that you will speak to hearts. One that's listening today that needs to be saved, I pray you'll touch that heart. One that needs encouragement, one of your children that's just about to give up, Lord, I pray you'll help them to go just a little further. Now, all you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Keep everybody through the week and back again next week at this same time.